along to him. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, remember how much God loves you and cares for you and forgives you from the stuff, the junk in your past. Something, a reminder for all of us every day. Every day as we wake up and start a new day, right? Not to wallow in the past and the ways we've blown it, even if you blew it an hour ago. And I got a little frustrated here about something, and God forgive me for that. It's 10 minutes past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer, and I am joined by a college professor and researcher that I've admired for years. His name is Dr. Brad Wilcox. He is the director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. Brad is an associate professor of sociology at the university. He's a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, a senior fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. He's a real smart dude. Brad, welcome to Faith Radio.
Dr. Bill, it's good to talk to you again today.
Yeah, I think I met you personally at Princeton many, many years ago. We have a mutual friend, Glenn Stanton, from Focus on the Family. And I've always just loved the way that you apply your research to everyday life. And you've really taken an interest in the last several years on issues like fatherhood, how faith impacts our lives. And before we get into your new research and your new book, just tell me a little bit about the National Marriage Project and what you do there.
Well, the National Marriage Project is designed to give us a sense, a portrait of what's happening to marriage and family life in America, and then also to identify, you know, some strategies, policy-wise, culturally speaking, that can be helpful in strengthening marriage and strengthening families. And we do all this because, you know, the science really tells us that kids, on average, are much more likely to flourish when they're raised by their own married parents. So that's what we're up to in general. And then more recently, we had a report by Dr. Scott Stanley and Galena Rhodes, you may know Scott, called Before I Do. And it was detailing strategies young adults can take to increase their odds of forging a strong and stable marriage today. So that that report is on our website and is a good resource for younger adults who are thinking about marriage.
And let's actually talk about that research for just a bit before we get into your new book, because what we're referring to is cohabitation. I mean, there's a lot of things in the report, but that's one of the significant things is that so many young people today, including Christian young people, Christian kids, teenagers, young adults, are making the choice to cohabit before marriage, and many of them believe erroneously that that is going to contribute to marital success. My thought, and tell me if you agree with this, Brad, my thought is that the reason that a lot of young people decide to live together before marriage is because they came from broken families, families of divorce. They experienced the pain of their mom and dad's divorce and how that impacted them. And they think to themselves, I never want to make that mistake myself. I never want to put my own kids through that. So before I get married, I need to really check this thing out. I need to kick the tires on this relationship. So let's move in together and not, you know, formalize it with that marriage license thing, but it didn't work out for my mom and dad. So let's just cohabit. Let's just live together. And that's going to help us make sure that this is the right thing to do. What they don't realize is they are actually sabotaging their chances for marital success. Am I correct?
You know, Dr. Bill, you basically are. I think there's a bit of a debate about sort of cohabitation after engagement in terms of its effect for individual couples. But the bigger point that Scott Stanley makes both in our report and more generally is that a lot of younger adults are kind of sliding into their relationships and then their marriages. They're sliding rather than deciding, is the phrase he uses. And his point is that people might, you know, they might meet at a party, start dating, live together on the weekends, extend that, you know, for a couple of days a week and then just, you know, move in together all the time. But they've never had a serious conversation about their future, about their hopes for family life, about combining work and family, about their faith. And so they kind of often will then slide into marriage. And it's these couples who have kind of slid through these major sequences, major stages in their relationship that are much more likely to be struggling.
And there, correct me if I'm wrong here, the research would say that those young people who do cohabit before marriage, and let's take engagement out of it, let's just say people that are, you know, they're dating and they end up living together and they think of ultimately, eventually, I'm going to get married. If they do go on to tie the knot, often because the guy maybe feels pressured by the woman, I'm speaking generally here, but if they do go on to get married, they have a significantly higher divorce rate than those who don't cohabit before marriage. They also are more likely to be involved in infidelity, to cheat on each other. There's also a pretty good chance that if they get pregnant out of wedlock, the guy's going to take off, leaving his girlfriend, his cohabiting partner, to raise the child on her own. So even though they think they're doing the right thing by test driving the relationship, they could have, and again, we're talking statistically, this doesn't happen to everybody, but they're setting themselves up for what could be a rocky road, correct?
That's basically correct. The big risk, though, for individual couples is cohabiting prior to an engagement. And the point, you know, that Scott Stanley is making is that they're kind of moving into this, you know, kind of co-residential relationship without having any kind of common framework, common commitment, common recognition from friends and family. So that's the couple story. But it's important to note, as you, I think, also just suggested, we have a big challenge now of cohabitation in kids. And most of the kids who are being born outside of marriage today are being born to cohabiting couples. And as you noted, you're much more likely to see those relationships break down and the dads become absent from the picture when a child is born into a cohabiting family as opposed to a married family. So one of the other pieces about cohabitation that I think is even in a sense more worrisome is the fact that it's now the site of so much childbearing, and those kids experience typically a lot of family instability, a single parent situation, and you know, just don't benefit from the stability and the security and you know, the recognition from friends and family and often obviously the church that marriage provides.
Great thoughts. Brad Wilcox, our guest here on the Faith Radio Network. It's 17 past the hour. Coming up next, we'll talk about Brad's new research on how faith and faith communities contribute to family togetherness and happiness in minority communities. It's pretty amazing stuff, and we'll dive into it up next here on the Faith Radio Network. Good morning. It's 20 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest, Dr. Brad Wilcox from the University of Virginia. And Brad, in your latest book, you and your co-author, Nicholas Wolfinger of the University of Utah, you shine a spotlight on the lives of strong, happy minority couples, particularly Latino couples, African-American couples. And you found a factor that seemed to make a significant difference in their lives. And Brad, what was that factor?
Well, Dr. Bill, what we find in the book is that there are millions of flourishing Black and Latino families out there in America today who often are not in the spotlight, particularly in the wake, obviously, of Ferguson and Baltimore and all that. And, you know, but again, they're enjoying happy marriages, strong families, and in some important respects, what's interesting too in the book is that we find that on some sort of cultural questions, Black and Latinos actually have more traditional family values than do whites. So these are things that we put in the book, and one of the key factors to your question is church going, joint church going, especially couples, for instance, who are regularly attending church together. are the happiest married couples, you know, in our book. And that's true for blacks and Latinos. It's also true for whites as well. So what we find, for instance, is that black, Latino, and white couples who attend church together are, you know, the happiest couples, you know, in America. And that's in part because they're more likely to have shared friends in their congregations and their churches, who give them support, you know, who give them counsel, who hold them accountable. And they're also more likely to be praying together. In fact, praying together as a couple, for blacks and Latinos as well as for whites, is certainly one of the most powerful predictors that we see, you know, in our models of having a successful marriage. So the bottom line here is there's some good news in the book about black and Latino families and faith, particularly sort of the shared prayer that can unite a couple and unite a family, is a key factor in all this.
Very exciting news. And you said not just black and Latino couples, but white as well. Praying together. What is it about praying together, Brad, that makes that difference? Is it the fact that we are humbling ourselves before God? Is something about that just that spiritual mingling of souls? What's going on during the shared prayer that somehow is then contributing to this positive relationship?
Well, you know, I think shared prayer gets couples on the same wavelength. They're often articulating concerns about their marriage, their kids, their lives together. It's a very intimate thing for couples to share together. And, you know, as you know, in today's world, between smartphones and, you know, soccer practice and any number of things, a lot of families are torn this way and that. And so when couples can set aside time to pray together, it's an opportunity, again, for communication, for intimacy, and for, you know, for them to experience the power of their, you know, of their faith together. There's this phrase in the work of Emil Durkheim, a famous sociologist, called "They Came Away Stronger," referring to the power of rituals in our lives. And I think prayer is just one of those, you know, shared rituals that affords us a kind of strength that we often don't appreciate. But, you know, if we go ahead and you know, engage in these kinds of shared rituals together as a couple or as parents and children, you know, there is a kind of power there that manifests itself oftentimes in, you know, these better family outcomes.
Well, you've challenged me. My wife and I pray together, but we don't do it as regularly as we should. And obviously, if it's going to make a difference in our marriage and strengthen it, we want to be doing that. And I would encourage all of our Faith Radio listeners who are married to take that to heart. Once again, the new book is Soulmates, Religion, Sex, Love, and Marriage Among African-American and Latinos. The co-authors, Dr. Brad Wilcox from the University of Virginia and Nicholas Wolfinger from the University of Utah. Brad, thank you for joining us this morning. I know you've got a busy schedule, and I think I heard a little one there in the background. So
yeah, I've got my toddler in the background here.
Well, we appreciate your scholarship. We appreciate your commitment to the family, to fatherhood, and we hope to talk to you again real soon, Brad.
Thanks, Dr. Bill. And your guests, I mean, can hear this at the soulmatesbook.com if they want to get the book.
Okay, thesoulmatesbook.com. Check it out, thesoulmatesbook.com.